Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 23rd on the West Coast, now August the 24th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, where I got to spend 2 hours this afternoon with my good friend Drew Malone Raines III on his A Marine's Disquisition Show. And we talked about a number of items. We talked about this new flu pandemic scare. This is not really officially the pandemic, but everybody's got to take this triad of vaccinations, a three-in-one, if you will. And I got to play a 32-minute, 11-second clip on Drew's show of Dr. Mercola and Barbara Lowe Fisher. And she had some very interesting things to say about this vaccination. Number one, that it was causing many problems with the population in Australia, and that the government decided to suspend the vaccination, seeing as how people were developing very severe high fevers, convulsions, and other types of problems. And they basically said that anyone under 5 years of age shouldn't even be getting this vaccine. Of course, they pump kids up with vaccines as soon as they're born. That is, if they're in the hospital when they're born. And much to people's chagrin, later on when other problems develop, such as autism or congenital diseases that don't seem to go away, the pharmaceutical companies get off scot-free. And this is just another scam. In fact, the average deaths, which were estimated on prior years, going back, I think as far as 2003, were 36,000 people a year dying from influenza type A. And here they're going to mix type A with H5N1 and H1N1, the bird flu and the swine flu. This is just pure madness. Last year, during this pandemic, a total of 12,000 people died, and that is an estimate. And so that's 33% of the norm. It couldn't be because they got the shot, because a lot of people that got the shot actually got sick. Some even died. The CDC is lying to us about this. The American Medical Association is lying to us. The World Health Organization and the pharmaceutical companies. And last but not least, our wonderful government and the governments of the world. All in collusion to make a fast buck while doing away with society. Now, in light of that, we also discussed Iran a little bit and the Gulf of Mexico. What's interesting about this vaccine, by the way, is that it's okay to put it in a human body, but it's not permitted to throw any of the waste in the garbage. I wonder what you're supposed to do with it. With that, I'd like to bring on tonight's guest. He hosts his own show on the Micro Effect Network. That's at the microeffect.com. The show is called The Story Behind the Story. He's our regular Monday night guest on Evident Footprints. Author, researcher, naturopath, PhD, journalist, and talk show host, my good friend, Dr. A. Drew Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Don. Yes, indeed. I wish I could have heard your show with Drew today. Today's been one of those Mondays where you never can catch up enough. I don't know. I like I said, I need another computer. I need somebody to help go through emails. I can't keep up. I just flat out can't keep up.
Oh, I know. It's too much. It's difficult to read them all, let alone answer them. So.
Well, it is, and it's not junk email. It's all, you know, people that are asking opinions, this and that. You know, if you talk about 200 or 300 a day, and if you miss a day in the weekends, you take a weekend off, you're in trouble.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
So anyway.
I got to listen to your show this evening, and I thought it was quite educational. You were basically showing all the connections of the bloodlines in the banking world, we could say, just being very general, and pointing out that these affiliations are not accidental. These are planned. And of course, this is all to basically have the reign on the world finances, on politics, on government, and humanity as a whole. And we're witnessing things around the world now, which have been in the works for some time. They always seem to fabricate a reason why wars begin. But it's so obvious that they're planning these things. And I know that you wanted to talk about that. So, please feel free to open the topic wherever you feel comfortable.
Well, you know, like we talked about before the show, Don, there's the protocols of the wise men of Zion, so-called. And then you have that publication also basically outlined in letters between Albert Pike and Giuseppe Mazzini. This is in the 1870s, Don, where Albert Pike outlines the three major world wars,
mm-hmm.
gives time, basically the timeline of each one and the goals of each one. And WW1 and 2 went just exactly according to schedule. And the third climactic war, the great war to end of all, you know, is basically over religion, to basically destroy all the world's religions, faith, and greatly depopulate the world. I'm just trying to get a handle on these individuals. It's not just that they're warped in their own thinking, but they are literally following a demonic plan. I mean, it's a long-term, multi-generational plan that has been outlined by the fallen angel himself.
Yes.
So,
I want to make a quick comment. There seems, you know, we predicted this months ago that they're pushing for a race war. We saw this with the Gulf of Mexico incident, the Deepwater Horizon explosion, and all of a sudden you could see that they were trying to divide the people. Well, the people in the Deep South, many of them very poor, many of them on welfare, many of them from the backgrounds of slavery back in the 17 and 1800s primarily. And these are people that these pigs in government call useless eaters. They force people to live in squalor by giving them a fish for a day instead of teaching them to fish for life, contradicting their own self-professed claims to be Christians. And it creates a lot of animosity with people who are being misinformed through the propaganda of the mainstream media, because you have people who do work, people who do contribute to the system, and they're watching people who are just having babies And this isn't necessarily black people alone. This is poor people all over this country and all over the world. In this country, they've turned making babies into a business. Several months ago, I did a story on a clip from New Orleans. There was a guy, I don't recall his name at the moment, but he had a number of kids. He was clearing something like $150,000 to $160,000 a year just on the payments he was getting from the government to support these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he was called an entrepreneur by his family. Well, I guess that is a sort of entrepreneurship. You can make yourself an entrepreneur, I guess, regardless of where the money's coming from. He figured out a way to make a lot of money.
Well, there's entrepreneurs, and then there's entrep on manure.
Yeah. Yeah. Flair. I remember the guy's name was Flair. It might have been Flair Allen or something like that, but Flair was his nickname. He died in a shootout, by the way, in his neighborhood in New Orleans. But they were obviously trying to stoke the flames or fan the flames of a race war, and they did this. They've been ratcheting this up. First, you see Al Sharpton come out, then Jesse Jackson, then you had the Tiger Woods affair, then Dr. Laura Schlesinger right now is in hot water for using the N-word 11 times.
What?
Oh, yeah. She did this on a show where she's talking about how certain groups can use the word and other groups can't.
Well, that's
they
true.
Use it in public. They use it in movies. They use it in music. And you see, this is fomenting racism. Now, many of the black community are Christians. Many of them are. So if you divide people politically over racial issues that are instigated by these events that are, they appear to be orchestrated. The media is jumping all over this stuff. All of a sudden, there's no talk about the Gulf of Mexico. And there's certainly no talk about what's going on in Iran. They're making a big deal about a mosque, and I'm not saying that it isn't a big deal, but don't blame the Muslims for 9/11. That's the first lie, you see. Mm-hmm. That's the propaganda that they keep pumping into people's heads, is that Muslims were behind 9/11. No, that is not the truth. So the Muslims are being targeted, just like we're being targeted here. Just like Africans were targeted, just like Haitians were targeted, just like the Nicaraguans were targeted. We could go all over the world and find places where people of a certain ethnic background were targeted. Now, one way to destroy a religion where blacks and whites worship together is to turn blacks and whites against each other. And that's what I see is happening here. You see, they'll do this to create a race war. And people will forget all about religion. They're not getting the truth from organized religion anyway. They're not getting the true nature of God and the true nature of man and man's sovereignty. They're politicizing everything, every aspect of our lives. And yes, Pike wrote in 1870. Many said, well, he was a prophet because World War One came to pass, like he said, and World War Two, it's the plan. Let's not make it so mysterious. It was their plan. And they're following the same script right now. And I don't mean to steal your thunder. I just wanted to make that point that's what's going on. We have this with the border problem in the United States as well as sending Muslims here from other countries where they allegedly harbor terrorists. I mean, it's insane what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what's insane. You remember I told you about the little Mexican shop right down my street. Okay, the drug bust that was there, and all the weapons and the revolutionary manuals and that. Remember, I told you about that.
Here's the
latest chapter. Yeah, now this is up for rent. It's not the place is not sold, but I did some digging, and the principals that were in the house have been basically deported, but their house was paid for with cash. Now it's being rented through the county authority for minority. There's some kind of a subsidized rent for minorities, from Hispanic minorities. Let's get this, they're not losing the assets. They're being subsidized by some, again, local government program. I have a problem with that. What happened to drug dealers losing their assets? See, if a white man, a Caucasian, if I was dealing drugs out of my house, you can bet they would have, especially if I owned it free and clear without a mortgage, my house would be forfeited, my vehicles and everything else would be forfeited. But apparently not Mexican nationals.
Didn't you say there was also a weapons cache there?
Yeah. Yeah, weapons cache and cases of revolutionary brochures instigating, telling to go out and kill the gringos. Take back Utah, take back Arizona, take back all of this land that used to be Mexico, and they feel like should still be Mexico by right.
Well, it seems to me, if from what I remember of my history, and of course, you got to take a spoonful of honey with that anymore these days, looking seriously at history. But wasn't it Cortez that invaded those areas from Spain?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. South America. He chased Montezuma up into this area of Utah, supposedly. It gets pretty sketchy, but yeah, it's the Spanish miners in the 17th century, even going back to the 16th century after Pizarro. They came up here and basically enslaved the indigenous Indian tribes,
mm-hmm.
And this went on for many centuries.
Well, yes, there's a history going back, I think, to about 6,000 B.C. of the Anasazi Indians all throughout New Mexico, Arizona, certainly the southern half of Utah, and the northwest, or let's say the western half of Colorado, at least. And you had the Utes and the Paiutes as well. But the Anasazis go back to 6,000 B.C., and they migrated from one area to another. Now, the enemy of these people later on became Cortez, who was an invader, a murderer, and a robber on behalf of the Spanish crown. So, if we get our facts straight as to whose land it was, belonged to the indigenous people, of course.
Well, yeah, but they had no concept of land ownership. They were just merely, part of the natural cycle in the Great Spirit's ideas. So, the idea of land ownership and claiming it and owning it, it's kind of a Western philosophy, no doubt about it. And that brings up another, interesting question I've always had is, you look at all of these large landowners. For instance, I know of a place that has a 1,000-acre ranch on the mountain in southern Utah. When they homesteaded that, there wasn't any BLM, there wasn't any Forest Service, there wasn't any place to really go and buy this land. What gave them the right to own that land? Just that they had some money and could build good fences to claim it. I mean, who'd they buy it from?
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? And you got these large blocks of land in California that are private now. And again, where did they? Who gave them the right to own all these blocks of land?
Well, it's revealing itself to be nothing more than the organized crime we talk about today, posing as government. This was from the inception of this country. This country was hijacked from day one, and as well as other parts of the world. This is not exclusively the only place this has occurred, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I was just watching that old those old TV shows, not Gunsmoke, Bonanza. And you know, here's the Cartwright clan. They have all this huge Ponderosa ranch, and that's factual. I mean, look at that big block of land, and mining, timber, cattle. What gave them the right to have that big block of land, and other people coming on wanted to you know, graze some sheep or cattle on their spread, they got whacked and sent off packing. My point is, where did they get the right to say they own all this block of land?
They got it from Chevrolet.
Yeah, they didn't buy from anybody. I mean, did they? I'm just thinking, wow, you know, little Joe, you got a pretty big britches kicking that poor little, you know, sheep herder off your land.
Well, he had Haas to back him up.
Yeah, Haas, boy.
Little buddy.
But see, it's the propaganda. Nobody's, you got this landed gentry, these rich landowners, but where did they get the land? Where did, you know, that's always been a question I've had. Nobody's been able to answer me, other than they just literally went out and staked it out and had the guns to say, it's mine, it appears.
Yeah. Well, we could do a whole show on that, couldn't we?
Well, and then they have the gumption to subdivide it and sell it off and make millions and millions of dollars. I don't get it. It's just like like a bank saying, here, I have the right to have you sign a mortgage and make you my indentured servant, and you're going to work and work and work and give me all this interest and money. For what? Somebody has the supposed charter from the government to issue bank entries on a computer? I mean, what value actually flows from a electronic transfer saying you have X number of widgets in your bank account?
Yeah. Speaking of the olden days when they first started putting up banks in all these small towns across the West and the Southwest, it was always, well, this is where you put your money to make it safe. It's not safe to keep money. Well, people didn't have that problem years before. They never had that problem until that concept of banking came in there. Then the bank figured out all kinds of ways to take your money, to charge you for safekeeping it, all the while they were spending it and investing it and paying little or no interest whatsoever on it. And then to end up, even today, with all this modern technology we have and all the laws that we have on the books, isn't it interesting how multi-billion-dollar or multi-trillion-dollar scams can be conducted, and nobody goes to jail? Nobody has to face a penalty for it. It's nothing but organized crime. That dawned on me a couple of weeks ago. I just came out and said it's been rotten from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the beginning of this country, it's been rotten and corrupt. By design, and everything was worked into a de facto government, a de facto justice system that basically is all based on lies and bribery and thievery. Because there aren't any indigenous people to steal from. They're even taking the reservations and building casinos on them. How much of that money are the people getting? You know, they've come up with every conceivable scheme that they can. And it's not enough to plunder one country the size of the United States. They have to go to foreign countries and do the same thing, like Iraq and Afghanistan and soon to be Iran if they get their way. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, like I said, on my show, Don, a lot of it's intuitive, but a lot of it is intelligence that I've gotten on the inside. The carrier groups that have been moved into position to the Straits of Hormuz there and ready to deploy, you know, 6,000 crack marine troops, amphibious assault troops, cruise missile carrier. I mean, this is a huge battle group with the USS Truman that's positioned, and they were, I understand, Saturday on high red alert. I mean, this was something imminent was about to happen, and to back up, Israel's preemptive strikes. Something happened where it was diffused. I don't know what happened, but I just know we were literally on the brink of a major, major crisis this last weekend.
Well, I think there was an event that was to possibly be used as the excuse for it attacking Iran, and that was the Russians who had plans to install fuel rods to begin producing weapons grade plutonium.
Did they actually complete that schedule?
I don't know, but one might think that they didn't. One might conclude that something intervened, something interfered with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about handful of soldiers. For the past 2 months, there have been at least 60,000 troops lined up along the northern border of Iran. You heard that in one news report?
Mm-hmm.
358 ships around the Gulf area there, the Strait of Hormuz and around the Gulf, battleships, American ships. So yeah, it doesn't sound like people are making peace when they arm themselves to the gills like that and surround a country. But to me, it appears that this country is kowtowing to Israel. No doubt about it.
Well, yes, that's what I show on my timeline. The money that was missing from the Pentagon's budget under Dov Zakheim, the Israeli rabbi, who was appointed to be comptroller of the entire Pentagon. We have Donald Rumsfeld.
There's logic in that.
Yeah.
Where is the logic in that?
Well, if you're a complete Ashkenazi Zionist, that's the logic. You want to do anything and everything to promote the new world order of the Zionist ideal. Then you've got Donald Rumsfeld coming on a nationwide alert on September 10th. He comes clean and fesses up that the General Accounting Office is investigating $2.3 trillion that's misappropriated. Now, again, why is Dov Zakheim not in prison? If you or I had worked for a government agency locally and we embezzled $100,000, do you think we would be facing some jail time?
If you embezzled $1,000, you would be.
$2.3 trillion is, oh my goodness, so what? Apparently. The, you know, Rumsfeld made that announcement on the 10th, and obviously there was a huge major investigation going on. And what happened after the September 11th? Not a whisper anymore. Not a whisper of it implicating Israel, because that money, you know, we're talking about inventory of weaponry and jet fighters and helicopters, other fixed wing airplanes, all part of this missing inventory, missing into Israel.
Oh, and we had the Minot Air Force Base scandal, the Minot to Barksdale scandal of the armed plane and a missing bomb, nuclear weapon.
Right, uh-huh.
We yeah. seem to forget that, too.
Yeah, and so you look at, like as I explained on my timeline shows, Don, you have the acquisition of the nuclear bomb by Israel, and they did that 100 times more dastardly and devious than Iran is ever doing. At least Iran is saying we're doing it, we're getting these capabilities, you know, by our own efforts. We're not doing it through deceit and deception and sabotage of America, which is what Israel did to get the bomb in the first place. That all became very apparent in internal investigations, with nobody paying spending any time in the hooskow. Well, today, according to my sources, Israel has 200 plus MIRV, multiple programmed warheads, 200 plus of them, which a MIRV warhead can be, you know, basically morphed out to five other targets in megatonnage. That's what, 50 times more than the Nagasaki Hiroshima bombs? Do the math. 200, and you got, let's say, five MIRV warheads of the 200. That's 1,000 cities that can be wiped off the face of the earth. Look at your major cities in the world, Don, and they have more than enough to wipe off the whole planet if they so desired. And I think that part of the reason why they get everything they want from the government now is because I think there's a real sort of blackmail going on. You either play the game or we have the control now. We have the weaponized bird flu, aka the 1918 pandemic flu. You don't do what we say, Congress or Mr. President. You know, we flexed our muscle in 2009, but wait till we let the bad one go. Also, they have what's called the Samson complex. You know, before they received the bomb capabilities, the atomic capabilities, they the generals and the military and Mossad agents of Israel, they took an oath called it's a Mossad complex. Mossad is the last bastion of the Qumran community of the Dead Sea Scrolls. So under Titus and Roman Legion, they basically made a last stand and all died. All were massacred. They weren't driven into the sea. They gave a good accountability. They gave a good fight, but they were all wiped out to the man. It's like the Alamo, okay? And so when they received the nuclear bomb capabilities, they went from the Mossad complex into their self-described Samson complex. You know, Samson took himself out, yeah, but he pushed the pillars apart and killed everybody that was anybody along with him. So basically Israel's stance is, well, if we go, the whole building, the whole world goes. We have the technology to do that. And so, you know, it's like Al Capone now has the biggest, baddest bunch of gangster killers. And so he has more power and clout. That's the way I see it. You know, if you're going to restrict Iran from getting the nuke or developing any type of nuclear capabilities, why don't you make, you know, internationally make Israel disarm? Keep your conventional weapons, keep your tanks and your airplanes, but I'm sorry, the thoughts of Israel, the, you know, especially since what I know about 9/11 and who was responsible for that, the thoughts of having these people have a finger on the controls to release their nukes, that doesn't make me sleep too well at night, Don.
No, and they also have guardianship of our nuclear facilities here,
mm-hmm.
prisons, and underground bases, certain military bases. That's something to consider. I mean, why do we have a foreign country involved in these things? You see, well, we've always had foreign countries involved in the running of this government because it's nothing but organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. So $2.3 trillion in 2001, and yet the prior year it was $2.1 trillion, and the year before that, $2.3 trillion again. We didn't hear about that, though, until 9/11 happened. People started looking at these things carefully.
Right.
Nobody could imagine that much money could be stolen, whether it was in cash or in assets, as you pointed out, weapons or, you know, it's that international military industrial congressional complex.
Well, again, it's just the fact that it's just not been discussed is indicative of a cabal, a cover up to begin with, a conspiracy, shall we say. It just understand that Dr. Stephen Jones's paper, and now there's thousands of engineers and physicists now saying it was all demolition, it was all pre-planned. Well, you have that. Well, who's the main conspirator? Osama bin Laden. Dr. Jones actually said in 2005 that the Arabs somehow got in and did the pre-wiring. You know, it wasn't really any different. He just said, well, instead of the Arabs flying the planes in, which they did that too, they also pre-wired the WTC buildings. And so that, you know, it was a terrorist, Arabian Islamic terrorist, bombing and explosives. Hello.
Stephen Jones said that?
He surely did. He said he didn't want to come out and absolutely say it was government that did that. Or, you know, he just said it's got to be the terrorist Islam that got access and planted the demolition bombs. Oh, well, I don't think so. That's ridiculous.
My goodness, Marvin Bush had the security contract there up until wasn't it, September 10th?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting that he would have that contract at all? But then the same day that they make this announcement of the $2.3 trillion is the day his security contract for the World Trade Center expires?
And the ongoing Infosys scandal. Okay, there was a breakup of what's arguably the world's biggest spy ring operating in the U.S. from Israeli spies. The technology to the eavesdrop and do the phone taps. Here, by law enforcement, that technology is produced and controlled by the Israelis. So you're a suspect for murder, and the judge okays, because of the circumstances, okays a phone bug, a phone tap. Well, how does who does the police detective or FBI or whatever agency, how do they start the phone tap? You ever thought of that, Don? I mean, okay, the judge says you can tap John Doe's phones. What equipment is utilized to make that phone tap happen? It just happens.
Using computers now.
Well, they are. They were then back then as well. But it's a device that is manufactured and owned by the Israelis. So here you have this investigation about the same time with the tail end of the Clinton administration. You have these the strong evidence that somebody had access to the codes of this InfoSystems, and likely the Israeli government had a backdoor built into the program so they could access it and sell these information to the crime families that were being targeted. Mm-hmm. That was an ongoing 2-year investigation centered in the World Trade Center Building 7 at the SEC and FBI offices. Three or four floors were all the FBI and SEC offices.
And I think CIA had an office in there too.
Yes. Yes, they did. So you see what's going on is, well, all this is destroyed now. All the evidence is up in a puff of smoke.
Yeah, I wonder if these things are being built at these devices at the Technion University. And that seems to be where they're training many of their computer specialists, the guys that do their magic tricks with the algorithms,
mm-hmm.
which have become a major part of the derivative hedge fund market.
It's true.
It all ties in. Doesn't matter if you're talking about real estate or the theft of public lands and privatized through Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is totally running that show. Henry Paulson was running it
mm-hmm.
for a number of years, and he passed it on to another guy that had never done it before. And they have a group called the Western Land Conservancy. I had Adrian Salbucci from Argentina on the show, and he was talking about a similar fund that they have there in Argentina, again, run by Goldman Sachs.
Hmm.
When he began describing it, I knew what he was going to say. And it's under the guise of preserving wildlife and the wetlands and a certain endangered species, while at the same time, they're going to countries like, and I suspect they may be doing this in the northwest of the United States as well, but Australia is suffering from the after effects of this new flu vaccine, New Zealand is being bombarded with 1080 herbicide, which is having devastating effects on the animals. Just it's gory. You would think that deer came down with Ebola. It's that bad. And, of course, they're denying that they're spraying animals. If they're spraying fields where these animals feed, all they have to do is eat the poison, and they'll have the problems. But there were people who were vacationing from Brazil in New Zealand who complained about having been sprayed. So, you know, they have choppers flying through the area carrying some sort of a dispersal unit that's hung from a tether. And as the chopper's flying back and forth, it's leaving a mist from what looks like a big can that's being suspended from that tether. So, you know, this has been photographed. It's been documented. There's a film. Now, you have that going on. You have the Corexit in the Gulf of Mexico. See, they're trying to destroy the land and the water. I think the biggest desalinization plant in the South is near New Orleans. And how are they going to get the Corexit 9500 out of that water?
Yeah, that's a good question. And again, it's all based on a false flag. The spill itself was only a problem until they cut the pipe off 5,000 feet down. And I keep explaining this to people that'll listen. You've got all this documentation of these oil and asphalt volcanoes at that depth. You have unmanned submersibles, robotics taking, you know, detailed mapping of these. It's like the La Brea tar pits times 5,000. You know, just a massive underground mess down there. But it just does not get to the surface. The pressure of the water, the 150 atmospheric pressures keeps the hydrocarbons on the bottom.
Well, then, if that's the case, then the oil on the surface has to be coming from something that was dumped.
Well, that's the point. Yeah, and when the rig exploded and went down, there was about about 300 foot level. There was the bop, the head that broke, and so they were spewing it out at 150 feet deep under pressure. Yeah, that's going to cause a heck of a slick, especially at that much oil. I think it was, you know, better than five or six Exxon Valdezes that spilled. But you're talking, you know, that was contained fairly early in the situation. What was it, second or third week of May? That they announced that they had, you know, cut off the pipes and shut it down. But it was still showing these goofy videotapes of the well spewing water up, you know, or spewing oil into the water. Well, those are all bogus. You know
those
it is.
Tanks, yeah.
Yeah.
Doors and all.
Yeah, there's no way you can have an ongoing 24/7 video cam at 5,000 feet deep. That's absolutely ludicrous to anybody to believe that. People that believe that was legitimate, they probably believe the official version of 9/11 too.
Yeah. Well, what is your information on what's happening in Iran right now? Are you hearing anything?
I was just on standby. I haven't been able to confirm if those rods were actually put in or not. I don't know whether there's a if that's the weight, if that's the gambit that they just haven't put it in yet, or you know, withheld that. I don't know, Don. It's amazing there is a blackout of intelligence, of information coming out of there.
Yeah, it is. And you wouldn't know it that anything was going on if you were to watch mainstream. I mean, they're doing their best to foment racial dissension amongst groups. They take one person and have them say something on the airwaves and stir up a big controversy, and then they just beat it to death. As if we care about that. You see,
they
want people to focus their attention on it. And, the same groups are always involved. You know, what good has Jesse Jackson ever done being involved in any of these cases? And I remember a number of years ago, this Tawana Brawley case, where Al Sharpton was basically asking for the heads of six guys that were blamed for having raped this young girl. And then when it came to pass that she admitted she lied about the whole thing, where were the apologies? Didn't happen. You see, they don't want to forego the residual damage that those events cause. Nobody supports that at all. So, and it doesn't matter if it's a black girl or a white girl. Mm-hmm. They just have to portray these things. And then you wonder if that wasn't just an MK Ultra psyop, the whole thing, just to be a litmus test to see how much mileage they can get out of such an event.
Yeah, you know, it's funny too, when I wrote that paper Beyond Ponzi, and I made the links to I still maintain it's a gambit to get people to really blindly follow the cap and trade program. But I said it in July that by mid August it would be not a non-issue in the press. You'd see propaganda showing everything's back to normal. That's miraculously cleared. The shrimp boats are out fishing and catching fish again, catching shrimp. And that's exactly the way it's unfolding, isn't it? It's
yeah. Well, several of us have been chiming in with you on that. So yeah.
So yeah, it's and again, the America's collective memory seems to be pretty short. Too much brain fog and brain damage with aspartame and fluoride, I guess. Because they're just not, it's, okay, it's back to school. It's time to forget about this stuff. It's amazing to me.
Well, the usurper is again on vacation at Martha's Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's golf vacation. Overseas flights on Air Force One, Air Force Two. Renting, 60 rooms in one hotel? Michelle Obama.
She's something.
It's as though the handlers are just saying, look, go on vacation. Let us handle this.
Yeah. He's just a puppet anyway. He doesn't do anything with what they tell him and how. When they say jump, he just says how high. So, yeah.
Well, you haven't commented on this, the latest information. I think you follow Dr. Mercola a little bit, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You read his papers or look at any of his videos?
Occasionally. Like I said, I've got so darn much, you know, to go through and read every day. It's hard to do it all. But, yeah, occasionally something will catch my eye, and I'm on his mailing list, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, he's been very accurate and very timely as well. So, I concur with him. This whole thing with the upcoming, you know, vaccine. People, this pandemic is going to still happen. They'll make it happen. They just have to have their ducks lined up a little better first.
Oh, yeah. They had initially invested in 170 million of these vaccines. And the estimates were about 90,000 people. 170 million vaccines, 90 million people received the first dose of the swine flu shot. So we're not reaching as many people as we should be, but we did reach a lot of people. Now they have this overage of vaccinations, and they say it's against the law to dispose of these. You can't throw these in the garbage. Why such reverence for garbage and so little reverence for human beings? It doesn't make sense. That's sort of the point that Barbara Lowe Fisher made. that this is all contrived and they're, you know, she's sort of straddling the fence. Now, there was no mention of any nanotechnologies. I was disappointed in that, but they covered the issue very well as far as this, I don't know if you would call it a trivalent type of vaccine where they put influenza A, bird flu, and the swine flu all in one shot.
Mm-hmm. They were talking about that last year, that this upcoming flu season 2010 would have the trivalent structures. And again, look who's producing those and under what contract. And you see the same Nazi bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to Eli Lilly and Dan Quayle's father, George Bush Sr., Prescott Bush, all of them influential in building the distillery now that we have. So, yeah, just connect the dots and you see the picture pretty clearly.
Now they're saying that this is going to be mandatory for the whole population. I have to laugh. Because they were saying that the last time around, you know.
Yeah.
And the way it's presented, you know, you're going to go to your doctor and your doctor's going to tell you this. Well, don't go to your doctor. That's the best way to avoid that.
Yeah. And it'll be an issue coming up. I have a strong feeling that, they're just planning the time to make it coincide with the other grand climax they're working on.
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time here, Dr. Ott. Mm-hmm. I didn't give out your website, neither did you, although we did tell people how to get to the show. What have you been writing recently in the last couple of days since I've been to your site to look?
Well, I've kind of taken a break off the last couple of days, but Friday we posted this landmark ruling on the mortgage companies that really have no legal right to collect and throw people off their property. They say they're collecting a debt, but really it's much deeper than that, because the you know, the mortgages themselves are created by nothing but a signature on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. And the buyer of the home doesn't have that copy of that transaction that went into a particular bank's hands.
Right.
Many of these mortgages have been pooled together into those MERS accounts, which basically are being played on the stock market. That's
and it's yeah, the judges are ruling that's not legal. It's definitely not according to GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles. At the very least, it's you know, immoral. But it is. You're right, Don. It's illegal to do that. It's again embezzlement.
And
so
and,
anyway,
and yeah, that has been a vehicle of the military industrial complex.
Mm-hmm. There could very well be 62 million mortgages that are illegally invalid. What kind of a complex do you think that would cause America? You think that would cause the Chinese to, which has put all their money into the bond, the debentures and the bonds, to sit back and let that go idly by? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard any mainstream report the fact that there was a $47 trillion lien placed on the Treasury and the Federal Reserve last year, or at the beginning of this year. I think it was announced that they were going to do this on December 6th, and I think that occurred possibly the first week of January of this year. So, yeah, mm-hmm. we're not even close to getting the truth from mainstream. That's certain.
Not at all. Well, it's up to us, and my website is www.atrueat.com, atrueat.com. You'll see the information on this these mortgages. New revelations coming out more and more. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get back to what made this country great. That's creating real wealth from ingenuity and entrepreneurship and hard work. I mean, that's the formula for success.
Yes.
Okay. Well.
Well, I want to thank you for being on tonight's show, Dr. Ott, and let the listeners know you'll be on again next Monday. And certainly check out the show, The Story Behind the Story. Always interesting guests, and always a lot to digest as well. A lot of information.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks. Thank you for all your work, Don. It's great being on the show, and be safe till next week. Good night.
I will. Okay. Good night, folks. That wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's guest, Dr. A. True Ott. Special thanks also to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. And over at BBS Radio, we have Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. Thanks, Seth. Sound was great. Also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Be sure to tune in tomorrow when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Fisher from the Fishers. And we're going to be listening to some of his new music and get some of his views as to what's going on in the heartland of the USA. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.